Anyway, we're in Romans chapter 13, and we're looking at this text in starting in verse 11, where he says, do this knowing the time, and we know the little phrase do this is referring to verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law, so do this. And he tells us with a kind of a clock on the wall mentality, do this knowing the time. He doesn't talk about eternity, it's knowing the time you have down here. He's kind of bringing into your scope of focus the hourglass, knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. Brings another time element in here called hour. For salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. He's counting it off, clocking it off, like sand through an hourglass. You're nearer because there's less sand grains to us than when we believe. So verse 11 is very, very easy to understand. You're to do what? To do this. The love. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Concentrate on that whole aspect of fulfilling the law. Make it your initiative and your motive and goal to love. And you do this knowing the time. You don't have much of it. And so you kind of contrast it with people who are asleep. Now, why does he do that? It is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. People who sleep, it's not a matter of, well, if you go to sleep, you're wasting time, but there's not a lot of activity when you sleep. You're just there. If you think about it, a third of your life is just, you know, flat out on a mattress. And it's like, gosh, you know, my life's a vapor as it is, it says in James 4. And I got to spend a third of it laying out unconscious, doing nothing, you know. He says, the night is almost gone. So when people sleep and the day is near, when you're going to be at the end of these grains of sand. Therefore, here's what the application is of knowing this time. Let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Taking off, putting on. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Why? Because you know the time. Why? Because the day is near. The night is almost over. We're on the clock and it's almost about ready to, okay, it's time that I'm going to have to turn in my exam paper, so to say. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Question I want to ask and see if we can answer some of it this morning is the question of what can GBF expect in 2022? Here we are on January 2nd, second day of 2022, brand new year. It's always in the back of your mind. You're thinking, wow, you know, New Year's celebration was yesterday and everything. I made it to another year. And, you know, people kind of mark off in their calendar. We have these big chunks of time that take place. We don't usually have a celebration. We go from January to February or from April to May or something like that. We made it to another month. We don't usually do that. But something a little bit bigger like a year, we sort of celebrate. Now, if something gets bigger like a century, we celebrate. And then when you had this train of the millennium, the year 2000, that was huge. Because this is a big, big shift. And how you measure, you know, time, we talked about that last week. There's words like Planck time where they actually have the measurement of an electron around, you know, a proton and neutron. Now, how you measure that, you can't look at it on a watch. It's already probably going through 1,000 of them by the time you just even looked at it and thought about it. But they have ways of measuring those kind of things, those short, real bursts in amounts of time called Planck time. And then there's things that they measure, like not just the rotation of the Earth on its axis or the revolution of Earth around the sun, but the actual revolution of the entire solar system in the galaxy that we are part of, this Milky Way galaxy. How do you measure that? What reference point do you use? Now, if anybody is in the scientific mind, if you know what R equals delta Y over delta X is, that's called, in scientific theory, or banking parlance, the rate of change. You measure change from one thing to another. So whether it's time you're trying to measure or you're trying to measure change or whatever, Paul says in our little paragraph here, you need to know the time. And you need to understand to not just know the time like a scientist, but you need to understand the true reference point when it comes to time. And it is always eternity. So what should we expect in 2022? Now, as the old saying goes, I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, okay? I'm not going to sit here and and discern in the psychic 1-900, you know, hotline for Zach, what's going to take place for Zach in 2022, all the specific details. But I can tell you on the authority of God's word, I know three things that you can expect in 2022. Now, the first one is that, and it's very broad, is that some things won't change in 2022. 2022 is going to look an awful lot like 2021. In 2020, in 2019, all the way back to BC. Some things are not going to change. They won't change. One of the first things you should know this already from the scriptures is that God himself isn't going to change. So as we go into this new year, what you can expect is there are some things. Now, I can expect some of these things to never change. They're going to be the same. God, in who he is in his character, is not going to change. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. James 1:17 says every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And when he says Father of lights, he describes it and says, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God is still on his throne. God hasn't lost one bit of who he is. He hasn't gained anything and he hasn't lost anything. He's completely immutable in his character. What he has always been, he will always be. And it's the same God in 2021, you will be serving in 2022. He himself has not changed. Now, for some people, that's not good news. And for others, like us, it's wonderful news. He never changes. Something else about God is that God's sovereign counsel isn't going to change. His mind in the direction that he wants to go with his creation is not going to change. How he wants to display his glory, which he'll give to no one, is not going to change. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, also the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Ephesians 1:11 says, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. The counsel of his will is not going to change. It's locked. It's etched in stone. It's not going anywhere. Something else we have come to understand in Romans chapter 8 is God's love isn't going to change. He says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers. He says in verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. His love is eternal. God is love, and it's part of who he is. He doesn't change. And his mind doesn't change. And so his love toward his people is never going to change. It's always going to be, as we say, steady eddy. So the first thing you can expect in 2022 that it's not going to change is who God is and what God's purposes are. And specifically his purpose and love toward his people. Those things are not going to change. Let me tell you something else that's not going to change. Your opposition isn't going to change. Bringing it down now to the created level. You have three enemies. They're not going to change. They are constantly going to be at your throat. If you think they're going to lessen up this year, you got another thing coming. 1 Thessalonians 2:18 says, and we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us. He says in 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, you have one. Prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's not going away in 2022. I can tell you on the authority of God's word, this isn't going to change in 2022. You have an opponent. He's personal. And he really does not like you. And he's going to oppose you. And if he can hinder you, he can devour you. Apollyon will do exactly that. And he's geared up to do it for 2022. You want to see what's in his day timer? You're in it. So am I. There's another tool in that opponent toolbox. And it's called the world. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Christ says to his disciples in John 15:19, he says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. They're going to hate you. Why do the people in the culture hate me so much? Why don't people understand when I say that, no, God isn't going to tolerate homosexuality? There's so much pushback. It's called the world. Get used to it. It's your opponent. They hate you. They're going to Molly, you know, call you and all this. They're going to hate you. They want to kill you. They're driven by the prince and the power of the air. We just saw the first opponent, the devil. And he's going to use this crowd, the seed of the serpent, and foment hatred toward you. And at the end of your life, it just says, Paul says it in the 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought the good fight. That means there's a fight here. Now I got to tell you something. If you have a Christian life and you don't have an opponent, you don't have a Christian life. And if you're not fighting an enemy, you've joined the enemy. You're part of the world. And lastly, it's the flesh. In Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So you've got this prince and power of the air, and he hates you. He hates Christ. He hates the woman. He hates the seed born of the woman. And he hates those who follow the woman. And he's going to use the crowd and its philosophies called the world against you. And he's got an asset in your backyard called your unredeemed body. And he takes advantage of that. Tries to push the temptation and the difficulties and trials and make you whine and grumble and complain. It's too tough and things of this sort. So that you don't put to death the deeds of the flesh. So you got something right here that's opposing you. You got the world out here with other people. And demons that oppose you. You got a devil that's, his kingdom is to stand against you. That's not going to change in 2022. You can guarantee it. Those things aren't going to change. Something else about Jesus Christ in 2022 that's not going to change is victory over his enemies isn't going to change. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12 says, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward, every year, see, until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. Footstool for his feet. So as time marches on, more and more enemies of Jesus Christ are placed and made part of the particle board, we would say, of being comprised of his footstool. You're not. You're ruling and reigning with him. But some are being made into footstool. 1 Corinthians 15:24-25 says, then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last thing that isn't going to change in 2022 is your great need for a savior. That's not going to change in 2022. You're not going to graduate to something higher than that. Well, I kind of got this Christianity stuff down. I think I know how to get going here. We say we have no sin. We call him a liar. We deceive ourselves. This says in 1 John 1. So we have always a great need for our Savior. You will, what's not going to change in 2022 is a prayer you constantly pray on a consistent basis, which is, Father, please forgive me of my sins. Please help me to overcome these distractions in the world and things of this sort. Help me with my weakness. Those prayers are not going to change in 2022. Now, the second thing you need to understand in this message is that some things aren't going to change, but then secondly, some things must change in 2022. They must change. When we get to the end of 2022, these things have got to change. And we know that they're going to change. And we start with God again. What in the world's going to change? God, well, we know God doesn't change. What do we say? Start with God. Well, there's some things that's going to change. And they must change. Because of the nature of God and the nature of His creation. They're going to change. And you're going to witness it. And you're going to see it. And you're going to be part of it. First thing you need to understand is that God's common grace towards sinners is going to change in 2022. Always does. Changes on a daily basis. Many times it changes on an hourly basis. But it's going to change. Some will find greater temporal relief from financial strain, separation from an abusive spouse, a better job or promotion. Some will be granted health from COVID. Some will welcome new members into their families as parents and grandparents. Some spiritually will be enlightened with the truth, convicted of sin, even baptized into a church. They will be given the grace to respond to the invitation that the king gave for his son's wedding. Common grace, things that God gives to all men in various shapes, ways, and forms, and measures, and things of this sort. And we see people like that on a daily basis. A guy yesterday walking through a 7-Eleven went to buy some chocolate milk, and give me a scratch out card, $1 million. That changed. Wow, look at that common grace. Well, the guy came with a scratch off, winning $1 million, there's a person over here getting the word from the oncologist that got cancer. Common grace is different measures to different people. And for some, the opposite will take place. It will increase for some. It will decrease for others. They'll lose their work, their job, their health. They'll even lose a loved one. They'll lose their spiritual sensitivity to the truth. They will become woke. And the weeds of the world will begin to choke out their faith. They're not going to get better spiritually in 2022. They're going to get worse. They're going to find themselves in Hebrews 6. Who have tasted of the good word. But yet they haven't drank from the well of salvation. They'll respond to the invitation that the king gives to the wedding. But they'll fail to wear the proper attire. And they'll be cast out in the end. But they'll be there. So for some, that common grace of God's going to increase. And it's common grace. Doesn't say. But it's there. It's good. Some people are going to actually become better. As you quote unquote define better. And then there's some that are not going to be. And they're going to be hardened. Or they're going to lose whatever God has given them by way of temporal pleasures. And that's most of the time how people get hardened. They think God owes them a life. And when all of a sudden their life gets cut thin, they hate God. And they turn against Him and things of this sort. You're going to see that this year. And that's going to happen. These are some of the things that must change in 2022. God doesn't sit on His hands. Men are in the Niagara River. And as they're judgment becomes closer, you will see the change. And you'll see other people whose change is going to be, wow, you know, this person, they've really improved. While my kids are learning what it means to work hard, they're becoming a better citizen. That's common grace. Doesn't mean they're saved. This means that, hey, they're doing good as far as people go. They're making ends meet. They're finally paying their bills. They finally got out from under my roof or whatever. Or, you know, they finally got their cancer in remission. Well, we're just so thankful. And we are. Those are good things. We're not thankful for common grace. They're all of them. So God's common grace towards sinners is going to change. Now, God's redemptive grace towards saints is going to change. But I thought it was all the same. Well, we are. We all wear the same robe of righteousness when it comes to Jesus Christ. But His redemptive grace toward you isn't the same as the guy next to you. How God fleshes things out and grows you in your Christian life is going to be different than the person next to you. So it will increase for some, and it will really increase for others. Notice there's no decrease. It's all increase. But for some, it's really going to increase. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 10. He says, "For by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored more than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God within me." How did He do that more than them all? Because it increased for both, but it really increased for Paul. So this is what you can expect from changes in 2022, is that God's redemptive grace toward you is going to change. It's going to increase. Now, how much it increases, in what form it increases, I don't know. Like what Piper said one time when he was preaching on one of these new years, he says, all you're going to get this year is mercy. All you're going to get 24/7 is mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. The grace by which you stand is going to move you Godward. Romans 5, he talks about that. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace by which we stand. So you can introduce your position before God is 110% grace. You're going to get nothing but grace from God in 2023. Isn't that great? And some are going to get it more than others. And some are going to go to glory with it. That's just how it is. Some are going to go through unbelievable, extreme, difficult trials. And you know what that's called? Grace. Your mercy is going to be a severe mercy. Not really the Christmas present everybody wants to open on Christmas Day. Give that to somebody else. I don't want that present, but it's a gift. You have been granted to suffer for his name's sake, it says in Philippians 1:29. Granted, same word for grace. You've been graced to suffer for his name. And they went out rejoicing that they could suffer for his name. Rejoicing to suffer? Wow, really? Suffer means getting something taken away from me. Hell, you know, contentment, something. And I'm in an unpleasant spot. And that's called grace, to be able to receive that and to be able to grow thereby. He says, and that grace by which you stand, notice, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Tribulation. These are means of grace, but perseverance is an outcome of grace. And perseverance, proven character. Improving character, hope. You want that hope? Well, you're going to have to run through the gauntlet of proven character. Oh, you need that proven character? You're going to have to persevere. I need that perseverance. And you're going to have tribulation. So some of us, all of us are going to have the grace increase. To what extent, into how great it's going to be, I don't know. But I know the outcome is going to be. It's Godward. And that's what's going to change in 2022 for you. You're going to receive mercy and grace from God. How much? In what package? What's going to look like? What you're going to lose to get to that higher level? Or what you're going to not lose and get to the higher level? I don't know how God's going to work it all out. But it's going to be there, and it's going to be from God. You know, it's interesting. There's a verse in Philippians 1:6 I like. He says, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will what? Perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work. See, it's a work that he began. You were God's workmanship, it says in Ephesians 2:10, right? 1 Corinthians 1:8-9 says, who will sustain you into the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's faithful to do these things. And he's faithful to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. You will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that must change in 2022. What you look like on January 2nd, 2022 cannot be and will not be the same person sitting in your chair on December 31st, 2022. You're going to be a different person. You have to be. You have to grow. Your sins will be forgiven. The grace by which you stand will never be moved underneath your feet. But the conformity to Jesus Christ and the way you think, as Christ grew in stature with men and God and favor, things are said in Luke chapter 2, it's going to happen to you as well. It must happen. So we've seen two things you can expect in 2022, right? It's not hard. You saw things that can't change. They're never going to change. They're going to stay the same. Whether it's God, his mind, his purposes, you're standing with him, things of this sort, those things are not going to change. And then we see some things that must change. We talk about ourselves in history. We get out of eternity, get in history. These things must change. Sinners are going to change. Saints are going to change. That's just all part of it. Things that can't change, things that must change. Now, the last category, it's one of those thin diagrams, kind of the middle, is some things in 2022 that might change. Contingent possibilities that might actually happen in 2022 when it comes to you. First thing is God may answer your prayers exactly as they are prayed. Wow. That might happen. But think about what you're praying for. There's a lot of things we pray, and as it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit helps us with our weakness. He knows the mind of God. He takes these things and he crafts them with groanings too deep for words and brings them before the throne as incense. And God hears that and answers that according to his eternal counsel. And you know something? That means your prayers are being answered. But they're not being answered many times the way you pray them. Now, that might change in 2022. Psalm 6:9 says, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. So when you pray and you're praying for a lost loved one, praying for salvation for them, that might change in 2022. He hears your prayer, how it's going to be crafted, how it's going to work out for the next 364 days of this year and beyond. I don't know. Lord, don't make them into a vessel of wrath prepared for destruction. Make them into a vessel of mercy. Cause them to repent, to believe. Cause me to be a proper tool in your hand in their life. To be the Lord's sponsor. It's not the coarse, gentle call. Correcting those who are in opposition. They may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil. Help me as a parent, as a sibling, as a child, whatever it might be, as a neighbor, as a co-worker. Fellow parishioner in the church kind of thing with somebody who comes to church that's not a Christian. Whatever it might be, whatever my role might be in that person's life, help me to be properly used by you. Change the destiny of someone. Now that's a good prayer. There's a lot of prayers you're going to pray that are most certainly going to be answered. Just the way they're praying. Lord, I just want to become more like Christ. Book it. It's going to happen. Done. Stamped, signed, sealed, delivered. How that's going to take place? And all of a sudden, specifically, you might be praying for this or the removal of that or whatever. I don't know. These are some of the things that might change in 2022 than you pray. Some of the things that might change in 2022 is the amount of sand in your hourglass. You might not make it to December 31st, 2022. I might be this time next year preaching, and we might not have everybody here. I might not be here. Might be somebody else standing up here. I don't know. I don't know how many grains of sand are in this hourglass of myself or you or anybody else. Those are the things that might change in 2022. James 4 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there engaged in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or do that, if the Lord wills. How much sand are you going to have in your hourglass this year? You know? Wish I could say, hey, this is what's going to happen in 2022 for you, specifically when it comes to time. I don't know that. And I'm not saying it must change or it won't change, but it might change. And that's the third category. It might change. Your prayers, as they are praying, might be received by the Father through the Spirit and says, don't need to craft these. Don't need to groan with words too deep for the human understanding. They pass right through with the Spirit, mediated by the Son, and they're brought into the presence of the Father. That might actually be there. Wow, look at that. I know every single one of your prayers is going to be heard, but they might not be received and given back down in the way they came. You need to understand that when it comes to prayer. God may give you more opportunity to minister in 2022. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul says, but I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me. See, opportunity. And there are many adversaries. Those are going to be there for sure. That's a must, right? Colossians 4:3, Paul says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison. Open us to us a door for the word. That might happen for you. You know, many times ministry grows out of testimony. It's like a battlefield commission. You get a promotion to a higher rank because of what you get on the battlefield. not because you went and sat in a class at West Point. You actually earned it in the midst of battle. And so you get promoted. You get your bars or your stars and stripes or whatever because of what they saw you do on the field. And that's going to be the same thing many times for us. Ministry is born of that. That's how people become elders and deacons and things, that they're seen to be doing the work. And so they're recognized as such. That's just part of it. People start having these kind of ministries, not because they invent them, because God all puts that into their hearts, part of their gifting and their calling, and we as church recognize those things. That might change in 2022. Many times ministries are born because of great trials and tribulations, because of difficulties. And all of a sudden, you rise to the top and can be able to lead or do this or do that, and people follow it, and they want to understand that. You go through an extreme amount of pain and suffering, and then all of a sudden somebody else, as you grow through that, other people see that and they're going through something similar. They're going to come to you. They'll come to me. They'll come to you. You went through it. Tell me how you did it. Tell me what it was like. Tell me what God did. Tell me what promises you relied upon. And rightly so, I'd come to you too and ask the same questions and all sort of going through that. That's why you don't waste your cancer. That's why you don't waste your financial hardships. You don't waste your parenting troubles. You got other people who are behind you who want to learn from you. That's the ministry. You didn't invent it. You didn't get out there and say, well, I'm going to open up a 36 ministry and, you know, with the Secretary of State. No, it's born out of tribulation and trials. That may happen. That might happen for you this year. You need to be prepared for it. And as we pray that God give us a door of effective service to minister, it might come through that way. As God hears our prayers, we always pray our prayers and we want God to answer as they're being prayed. But help us be sensitive, Lord, as to the shape and to the answer that you would be most honored with. Help us to accept these things, Jesus. In the time, the fleeting, vaporous time that I have on earth, as we saw in our text, right? Do not let me waste. Can you say that? The day is near. Than when we first believed. So there's a lot of things we need to put off and put on. We know the time. The last thing that might change in 22, as it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, he says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. He might appear in 2022. He might appear. So what might change in 2022 is the end of all time and the end of the world. And as a people, in Titus 2:13, we're to be looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. That event that's to take place that ends all of time. And brings all men into the presence of God for judgment, whether they've done, whatever they've done in the body, whether they're good or bad. That could actually be 2022. So the three things, once again, just kind of recapping for you, so if you can understand, not a difficult message, but in 2022, what you can expect, GBF, is for some things that are not going to change. And you know what they are when they have to do with God, have to do with his character, have to do with his counsel, have to do with his love. Your enemy isn't going to change. He's coming at you at full force. All right? And he has many different angles he's going to come at you. Christ's victory over his enemies isn't going to change. Your great need for a Savior isn't going to change. The things that will change in 2022, you need to understand, is this whole understanding of how grace operates. The common grace towards sinners and the redemptive grace towards saints. That's going to change in 2022. It has to. It can't stay the same. Or you would stay the same. You've got to become more like Jesus Christ. So God's going to have to up his game in giving you grace to become more like Christ. And how is he going to do that? I don't know. He could do it providentially through suffering and tribulations, because we know this is what brings about perseverance. I can expect those kind of trials. Just common everyday trials you should learn to expect as a Christian. In fact, James gets to the point saying, you really want to see the effect of grace with trials, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Knowing So knowing you've got something here, you've learned something, you've been educated, that it produces what? Endurance. The testing of my faith. See, testing of my faith. Testing. Your faith is going to get tested this year. Test it, test it, test it. It's kind of like gold. Kind of break the bar of iron. It's going to get tested. So don't act as if some strange thing is happening to you, Peter says. This is supposed to happen. Because you see, when that happens, there's the change. You grow stronger. God's in the process of making you stronger this year. And that grace is going to increase in your life. Tells you to do that in 1 Peter 1:13. Looking forward to the grace to be revealed. Unmerited favor. Imagine that. Favor toward God that's unmerited. You're supposed to expect that. It almost sounds presumptuous. But not for us. We stand in grace. And so that grace that's going to come to us might come in a package that's not physically, humanly, or whatever you might want to say, acceptable, because it's going to include pain, change, or whatever else it might happen. But I'm going to become more like Christ. And since we're your brothers and sisters, we want to encourage you to accept that change and become more like Jesus Christ. We also saw that when it comes to common grace with the lost, it's going to change as well for them. They're going to go from bad to worse, as it says. I like that passage. I'll read it in Paul writing to Titus at the very end of his first chapter. He says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God. That's a common grace. They're not talking about knowing idols. They profess to know God. Probably got some understanding of God. But by their deeds, they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. And now you see where the common grace goes. They've got common grace. They've got something good that a lot of people don't have, that they have. They've been given something. It's like saying, wow, I can't believe this. This person, he's rich. He's been given money. But if he takes the money and goes and does nothing but buy drugs for himself, he's going to find himself worse off than you. In a week, you'll be in the morgue. In a week, you won't be, but he will be. And he had this great common grace given to him in the realm of money. And what did he do with it? He wasted it. So that common grace is going to increase for some in a good sense. So don't come to the wedding feast. See? They're not going to be like the Jews who got the invitation and decided not to go. They're going to actually come. That's common grace. And for some, it's going to decrease. They're going to be kicked out because they didn't put on the wedding. They didn't understand by coming to the wedding feast, never dawned on that it's a wedding feast for somebody else. It's not for them. So there's things that is going to take place that must change in that regard with that. And then the things that might change, as we talked about in summary, in the realm of prayer, in the realm of your time, you only have today. Yesterday was what? That's spent. That's gone. Tomorrow's a promissory note. Today you got cash in hand. As you saw last week, 86,400 seconds. Instead of minutes, let's say. That's all you got. And there's your pennies in hand to invest for today. How are you going to do that? What's the grace of God by which you stand? How is he going to have you invest that today? What do you have today to do? If you don't have a lot of trials in your life, boy, you really need to be boarding up the windows for the opposition. This is when when you see the Marines there on Hamburger Hill and the enemy's not attacking, guess what they're doing? They're not watching SpongeBob, all right, in the foxhole. They're cleaning their weapons. They're making sure they have enough sandbags. They're checking this and that because they know the next round's going to come. That's what a good soldier does. So that, they're not on furlough. You're not on furlough here. There's a fight to fight. There's a race to run. There's a faith to be kept. And so to do that in a foxhole, you got to always remember, I'm in a battle. I'm constantly in a fight. I have got to be prepared for these things. And so the prayer, understanding I only have today, my time is short. All these things, when it comes to that, I'm looking forward to, Christ coming. I know I'm going to change this year and become more like Jesus Christ. I can't wait to become more like Jesus Christ. That's what it means to stay frosty in your faith. And you need to be around Christians that are going to constantly encourage you to do that. That's the things that might change in 2022. It might go the other way too. You might find yourself embracing heresy. You might find yourself embracing, the world, the flesh, and the devil, making excuses for sins that should be mortified. All those things can take place. I mean, in my estimation, I saw some good guys on the web, in my opinion. I wonder if they're Christians. They've gone woke. And so when you start asking about what it means to be justified by faith, what it means to accept a brother just simply based upon his relationship to Jesus Christ, they got to add all kind of fillers in there. Well, no, you got to include their race, or no, you got to include their wealth, or you got to include their heritage, or something. It's like, what's that? This guy's my brother, or this person's my sister, because they are justified by faith. Here, in the discussion. And whatever else God might have put in our lives because of differences are, is ancillary, secondary. I might be older, they might be younger, I might be male, they might be female, I might be rich, they might be poor. All of those things are ancillary. Doesn't mean they can't address them, but that's not who we identify as. We identify as Christians. And we bleed in our DNA, that's our blood, is Christian. We don't have anything else that we put before that. And if you do, you become an affront to the gospel. This is what Paul fought Peter over. Just moving a table from one table to the next with a plate of food. Called him out. I'm fellowshipping with the Jews and not the Gentiles. He wasn't being straightforward about the truth of the gospel. He didn't say I wouldn't be straightforward about the amount of food he had on his plate. No, it's the gospel. Because he made a have and a have-nots. And he did that. Can't do that. We're all one in Christ. You have many mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. And guess what? They don't look like you. They don't come from the same social strategy. But they're your mother, and they're your brother, and they're your father, and your sister, and all that. And that's what we're going to call them, and that's how we're going to treat them. And if they have a need, just like family, we come to your aid and say, we got your back. What do you need? What do you have? What can we do? We pray for people. We spend time with people. We spend energy on people. We spend resources on people. Why? Because they're our brothers. Now, that needs to grow and change in 2022. And you become more like that. You become less. That's not a good sign. And if you are God's child and it becomes less, expect the discipline in Hebrews 12 because he's going to conform you like a good father through discipline to become more like Christ. What can't change, what must change, and what might change in 2022. Any feedback on these things? Encourage you with. We face a new year. Don't know what to expect specifically when it comes to each and every one of us. But God has always been with us as a church. We might undergo some severe persecution. This thing with the vaccine might be of such a severity that they want to shut us down and we're still going to meet and they got to come down and they got to kind of write condemnation on the building and so you can't meet him. We might go through persecution. I might have a jail ministry by the time next summer rolls around because I can't be in fine thousands of dollars and things of this sort in our bank accounts on some Cayman Island so nobody can get to it. And that might, I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. Have no clue. Persecution can be just around the corner. And if it is, remember, we've been schooled by King Jesus. This is for our good. This is going to conform us to become more like Jesus Christ. And for those who are newbies and don't understand that and wonder if God's judging us and condemning us, no, it's not. It's causing us to become more like Jesus Christ. This is par for the course. We should be undergoing tribulation because we have what is not going to change. What? We have opposition. We just haven't been getting a lot of it. So expect that to ratchet up as it always has been for the saints through the ages. And we understand about this. Some through the waters. Some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you never change, that you're faithful, and no temptation has overtaken us. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that you are faithful. You will provide a way of escape, that we may be able to endure it. You are faithful, it says in 1 Corinthians 1, Father, that you will always be behind your promises, that you have caused us to be partakers of your divine nature, to escape the corruption that's in the world by lust. The world's not going to change, the devil's not going to change, and neither is the flesh that we will bury one day. It's not going to change. They will always stand against us, and we're mindful of them. Thank you, Father, that you have given us the victory, that you, as it says that, song that we sing in Jude, you're able to make us stand in your presence. And you'll make us able to stand in 2022 because your power is not diminished. because of these great things in you that will not change. As we saw in Psalm 145, that you are good to your people all the time. So help us, Father, as we go forward in this new year. Help us, Father, to be a people that look and sound like Jesus Christ. That you would help us in our faith as it increases. Father, as we were more likely than not, than we did this past year, bury some of our workmen. Think of our brother Louis Moak on his deathbed practically, Father, that we might not have him in a few months, or a few weeks, or a few days, I don't know. I remember in the year we had a Barry Conrad, and as more saints are lost via attrition, because Father, you have called us to the grave with these bodies, that Father, other men will rise up. Ministries will be born out of tribulation. Difficult times will arise. Oh, mindful Father, that in these last days that come, as it says in 2 Timothy, many will fall away. Father, we're asking, Lord, that be none of us, to keep us firm to the end, to make us, Father, knowing the time to put away those things of the night and embrace those things of the day. We only have a short amount of time left. Thank you, Father. You've given me 66 years. I'm delusional if I think I have another 66 on my plate. I know I don't. So help me, Father, to invest wisely with the vaporous years that I might have left, or months, or days, or even hours. I have no clue. But help us, Father, all to invest wisely, even today. A single day could be invested far greater than men's lives for generations, because a single day is the same as 1,000 years in your sight. You can pack the ministry and testimony of a single day in a man's life that is given the kudos of 1,000 years of testimony before your throne, if you so desire. Make that so, Father, for us. Make us able to trust you on a second-by-second basis. And the things that must change in our lives to become more like Christ, Father, let us embrace. Hear our prayers, Father. Hear our cries. Cause us, Father, to be a people that pray according to the Spirit as much as we can, according to the glory of Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us in Hebrews 7. So that, Father, you're honored and glorified. Your loving kindness is better than life. Father, you have put in our hearts a hatred for sin, and we cannot and will not and must not compromise that. That we would rather die than sin. And that your loving kindness is greater than our life. It's greater than the breath that we take. And that we'd rather spend the fellowship and the time with you. Keep us, Father, from believing the lies of our opponents, the devil and the world, lies. Seek to lie to us constantly, to trade that in, to trade our joy that we have in you for something far, far less. We love you and we thank you. Let 2022, Father, be a glorious year for us here at GBF, Father, that we would honor you and magnify you in all these things. For it's in Christ's great name we pray. Amen.